Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you once again. We're here in Cleveland, Ohio, or actually we're in a suburb of Cleveland, Independence, Ohio, and it's getting to be a very hot day, and yet sun is shining, and so God has blessed us, and Jesus is alive and well. He's the King of Kings, and he's coming back, and somebody says, why all this chaos in the world? Well, God's given man a long rope, and he has, with freedom comes many of the problems that have come along, and God has given us our freedom, but one day all the evil in the world, he's going to wrap up, and he's getting ready to do it, and we're going to show that many of the events that the Bible predicts at the time of the second coming of Christ are happening right in front of our eyes. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes, but first we have a great report on science and the Bible from Pastor Al Davis.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be with you again today. And again, I want to remind people that you can check out the website at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can find more information about Bruce Musselman there. There's some links to some various things, an article that he wrote, as well as some music and some other things with Bruce there, and also past programs. You can find them located at whereisgodsword.com. And I want to share something here today. I was looking at something. I saw this online just under a week ago, and it really was kind of amazing. I saw a video, and it said it was going to offer proof in 5 minutes that science proves that God exists. And I thought, well, that's intriguing. And so I watched it, and I thought, well, I made a good point. Now, there was some points in the video that I might have disagreed with. I believe in a relatively recent creation of the earth, and the person doing the video thought that the universe is billions and billions of years old, and there's some reasons why I went from that position to a young earth creation position, but that's not the point here right now. The point is that he showed something that virtually every physicist, every atheist would agree with up until the very last moment. And they showed a model that's been put together showing the expansion of the universe from the point of the Big Bang. And Bruce, as you always say, well, yeah, there was the Big Bang. God said it, and bang, there it was. But and we're going to see something here that's really kind of amazing. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And everything that matters, everything that has to do with the universe was created at that time. There's space, there's time, and then there's matter and energy. Matter and energy are basically two forms of the same thing, but space, time, and then matter and energy was created at that moment. It all came into existence out of nothingness. There was nothing before God spoke things into existence, and then all of a sudden, when God spoke, there it was. Now, according to the Big Bang, there was nothing that existed before the universe existed. Now follow this for a second, and we're going to tie this in with the God of the Bible. There's nothing that existed before the universe came into being. There was no space, there was no time, there was no matter or energy. The only thing that there was in this nothingness was the forces of nature, or what they call quantum fluctuations. And out of the forces of nature, or the laws of nature, this quantum fluctuation, all of a sudden, the universe came into being. And what this says, and this is what physicists, including atheists, believe, is that what created the universe, this set of forces, is not physical, that it acts on the physical, that it created the physical, and it predates the universe. So I can kind of put it this way. It's not physical. It acts on the matter of the universe, or the things of the universe, space, time, and matter and energy. It also created space, time, matter, and energy, and it predates the universe. Now, this is interesting because every atheist would believe that up to that point, pretty much. They would accept that as long as you said it was quantum fluctuations or a set of forces or the laws of nature. But let me suggest, just like they did in the video, if you put God there in place of the laws of nature, quantum fluctuations, guess what? The Bible tells us God is not physical. He's not a physical being, is he? John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit. And we also know from the scriptures that God acts on the physical. As I read in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided light from the darkness. We go on and see how God forms the material of the universe, space, time, and matter, and energy, into the universe that we see today. So God is not physical. God acts on the physical. God created the physical. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's very clear. And then God predates the universe. Well, who is God but the eternal God who is and was and will be? He always has existed. There's never a time that he did not exist. God has always existed. He predates the universe. And the moment that you put God in there instead of quantum fluctuations or the laws of nature, all of a sudden the atheists will jump ship and say, oh, no, you're putting your religious views in there. But here it is. The Bible reflects some of the most advanced up-to-date beliefs on the origins of the universe. In fact, the physicist that was giving this presentation said if he taught this 50 years ago in a secular school that quantum forces created the universe out of nothing and that it acts upon the physical and it predates the physical, he would have been laughed out of the schools because they didn't believe that at the time. They thought the universe was eternal. Now they believe the universe had a beginning. It was created by something that's not a part of the universe, that predates the universe, and that acts upon the elements of the universe and created those very elements. That's the biblical definition of God, isn't it?
Yes. Well, thank you for that report. You know, it's they believe that the matter was eternal based on philosophy.
Well, but now they're saying matter is not eternal. Matter was created by immaterial forces that act upon matter. They created matter themselves, but matter is not eternal now.
Yes, science began to improve when it wasn't just based on hot air of philosophers speculating on the way things should be, when they began to study what God had actually put on the earth. Observation, experimentation, you know, and started to look at what God had actually put there. Then science began to advance. And, of course, people will advance spiritually if they look at God's words that he actually gave us in the Bible. And, of course, it was found in the King James Bible because that's the one that Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. A stranger will not follow. They will not follow. And the Holy Spirit has guided them into that. And it's the one that comes down based on the ancient translations from the time of the apostles. And the modern ones, of course, have been corrupted. But I'd like to talk. Oh, I was thinking another thing, too, when you were saying that. It's interesting. If the universe was millions of years old or something and the sun is up in the sky, if that's true and the sun is millions of years old by now, to run out of gas, you know, that's just simple logic, isn't it?
Well, that's one of the reasons that people make a good case for a relatively recent creation, because if the universe was 13 point some billion years old and the universe or the sun was billions of years old, it shouldn't be in the state that it is today. It should have been much larger in the past. And there's a whole other reasons there. There's some good sources online that show why the sun cannot be billions of years old. In fact, a guy by the name of Spike Saris, he was a Air Force man, not in the Air Force, but he worked for the Air Force as a civilian engineer and physicist. And he's got an excellent thing, I think creationscience.com or something like that, where you can find where he shows why the sun can't be billions of years old. And it's very effective.
Thank you. And I want to talk today about some of the events that the Bible says will take place at the time of the coming of Christ. And there's a lot of things that God writes the Bible, and since he wrote it and gave it to man, he writes the future just as he writes the past. I mean, he knows the future just like he knows the past. Our God is so powerful in his power, but also in his intellect and in his knowledge that he knows that equation. So he knows exactly what is going to take place in the future. And he writes it in the Bible as if it's almost in the past. And I'm going to mention a few things today that talk about this. I was thinking today, this Cleveland City Council passed this law of same-sex bathrooms, I guess. Some guy that says that he's, although he's a male, says he's a woman, he can walk in a woman's washroom and so on. So they passed this unanimously. And then the pro-sodomite laws where it says men, two men can marry and two women can marry and all that stuff is going on. Years ago, I was reading in the New Testament where Jesus said that when he came to earth, that it would be as the days of Lot, and so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And when I read that, I thought, wow, this is amazing. You mean they're going to be given to what they call the gay lifestyle or sodomy at the time of Christ? And this was years ago, and I thought, this is amazing. Well, what happened? The Bible predicts that that was would be going on, just like it is going on today. And what happened at Sodom? Well, God said it was a city that was very wicked. Abraham prayed about it. God said, if there's a few righteous, he'd spare it. Abraham's nephew, Lot, went down, was living there in Sodom. And so God sent some angels down there to get Lot out. You know, before before the world is judged, God's going to take us out. That's called the rapture. And so these two angels came into town, and in the Bible, angels look like young men. And so they walked into town, and the people of Sodom, the men of Sodom came out, and practically the whole crowd came out to get these men, and they were at Lot's house, and they said, we want to know them. That's a biblical word for have sex with them. And Lot came out and said, brethren, he said, do not this wickedness. Now, Lot was a politician. Later on, the Bible describes Lot as a righteous man, and it says that it vexed his soul, that is, disturbed him at what the Sodomites were doing. So they wanted to take these two men that were strangers and actually rape these men, and it seemed like most of the city was involved in this. And so they came to get these men, and at this point, they went towards the door, and these men came at them, the angels just blinded them right on the spot. And yet they kept coming because they were so addicted to this habit. So then at that point, the angels say to Lot, you better get your children out because God's going to destroy this city. And so he goes to his children and he says, God's going to destroy this city. And they were brought up in Sodom, so they thought this was a joke, you know, and they laughed at him. And they refused to go, and so at that point, the angels grabbed Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, who were, I believe, were at home, and they just grabbed them and took them out of town. Well, God says, don't look back at the town. Well, anyway, so they got out of town, and when they got out of town, the fire fell on that town and incinerated the town. Now, Jesus says it will be as the days of Lot. All this is going to be happen again. And so we see the world is more and more in the country because we got these playboys that control the media. And so they promote this lifestyle all the time. And people don't read the Bible, start to believe it and accept it. And I've got to say that it is one of the greatest disease carriers you can find anywhere. Even one of the lesbian papers or one of the so-called gay papers, he said that it was it did promote HIV. And they had it right there, and it was by a fellow that was in, it was a leader in that group. And so all these diseases have come out. Not only that, it has cost the government hundreds of thousands of dollars because of this practice, and it's condemned in the Old and the New Testament. Now, Lot comes out, and he says, well, he says, here's my two daughters. They're virgins. You can have them. We say, well, oh, that's awful, you know, that he would give them these girls to these men. But, you know, I'm going to say something's very controversial, but you let children have unrestricted control of the TV and the internet by themselves. You're giving those kids to this secular world, and they're going to pick up, and that's going to educate them. So many times they're watching these TV, and the parents are eating their meals, and they're not even eating meals with the parents. And so you're doing very much what Lot offered to do. Now, Lot was a man that wanted to get along, and he called them brothers. You know, a lot of Christians want to get along. I'm telling you, people that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never be accepted by the world. The world's ticked off because they don't want anybody telling them what to do, and they don't like the rules of the Word of God. And so they don't like God, they don't like Christ, and they don't like Christians, and they'll never totally be accepted by the world. Well, Lot gets out of Sodom, and so the fire falls, and it's a picture of the rapture, because we're going to be taken out in a rapture out of this earth, and it's going to be one of the most traumatic experiences the world has ever seen, when millions of people in every country in the world are suddenly disappear off the face of the world. I wonder if there's a lot of secular people that believe this, because on the History Channel, they're already talking about space aliens taking people out of villages. I was watching this. Like, they must believe that it's going to happen, and it will happen when millions disappear. And how does that happen? Well, the Bible teaches Jesus was God. He came and was punished in our place for our sin. It's called the Lamb of God. He died for our sins, and he bodily rose from the dead the third day. And when we repent, we're willing to turn, accept him as Lord of our life. Then he becomes our Savior, because he has paid for our sins. And Lord means, Paul says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That means you're the boss, and you're willing to follow Jesus Christ and obey him and do his will. Then that means that your sins have been punished. Jesus took our punishment on him, and he lived a perfect life, and our sins are counted to him when he died on the cross. His perfect life is counted to us, and we become God's child. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, there's people today that believe that God will cast you out, and they say all kinds of things, but the Bible says, they went out from us, for they were not of us. For if they had been one of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. Says this in 1 John, and Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And so Jesus promises that if we have repented and we put our faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, we have eternal life. And so anyway, we're talking about events. So one of the first events it mentions about Lot, then it mentions about Noah. It said it'll be as was in the days of Noah. Well, we see that Noah, in his day, if you read in Genesis, it says two things. All flesh had corrupted themselves, and that leads us to believe that it's talking about the fornication and sexual immorality that is going on today, and it has its consequences. All God's rules and laws are made to protect us and to help us live a more joyful and peaceful life, and when we violate them, today, millions of people have every kind of disease you can imagine, because God has made one man for one woman forever. And so we violate those laws, and it says all flesh had corrupted themselves. Now, the second thing it says about the days of Noah, it says that in that time, the earth was full of violence. And you talk about violence today, And all over the world, these people are shooting at police and masses of people, groups of people come out and kill masses of people, bomb them, shoot them. And it can happen anywhere in the world, and it happens. We see it in the news almost every day. A group of people are shot or killed or murdered. And the Bible says the earth was full of violence. And then the Bible talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. And the Bible teaches us that Israel would come back to the land right before Christ comes back. But then it says that they would have trouble. Jacob left the land, and then he got wealthy, and he went back to the land. Esau tried to come out and destroy him. Jacob, there was the only thing he could do after trying to get Esau to leave him alone. He prayed, and there he saw a man that came from God. He wrestled with the man, and Jacob, in a sense, was born again, and he became a prince with God, and he was called Israel. And that man, I heard a rabbi one time said, this is Jacob wrestling with his conscience. That's not what Jacob said. Jacob said, I have seen God face to face. That man was God. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. Jacob saw God that day in a form of a human being. And the Bible says the same thing is going to happen in our time right in front of our eyes. And right now in the United Nations, a strange organization in New York City that claims to represent the countries of the world, they don't talk about the countries where they're cutting people's heads off for their faith in Christ or stoning people to death and cutting their arms and legs off. That's not brought up. But who is condemned hundreds of times, it seems like, all the time, continually? Israel. Now, why is Israel condemned? Because God said, ye are my witnesses. And Israel is a witness to the God of heaven. They gave us the Bible, and they were the ones that gave us Christianity. Their missionaries went out and taught us all about Jesus Christ and gave us Christ. And God said, they're an everlasting nation and they'll never be destroyed. And he said, that land is my land, the land of Palestine. And he said, that belongs to Israel and they will live there forever and nothing will change that. So the devil, who is against them, he is attempting to destroy them. And what the Bible teaches is this, and we're watching it getting ready to happen because of the UN. There is going to be the armies of the world will come up against Jerusalem, and they will go against that country. And the country will be overrun, and even the city of Jerusalem. And at that point, in Zechariah 14, it states it very clearly, and you read it in your Bible. It says, I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And then it says, the Lord himself shall return, and his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is outside the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus left bodily and physically from the Mount of Olives, and he is coming back bodily and physically. Now the Bible says in Zechariah 12, it says that I will gather all nations again. It's repeating itself against Jerusalem to battle. And at that time, it shall come to pass that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And God is speaking here. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for the firstborn. And that day it says, in the next few verses, there will be a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Now, what happens here is when the city is taken, it's overrun, Jesus Christ will come back and they will recognize he's the one that they have pierced. They'll recognize him as the Messiah, and he'll save them before the world destroys them in one last holocaust. And they will recognize him, and when they recognize him, all Israel will be saved. And the Bible says a fountain will be opened for sin, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanseth us from sin. That fountain is there for you today. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord, my God. Forgive me of my sin. You have eternal life, and you will be with God forever. And Jesus said, I'll never cast you out. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.